Can marketing really be a healing modality? And can it even be magical and fun? Our conversation with Lisa Levine, the founder of Maha Rose Center for Healing, shows a way to make this whole spiritual business, holistic business thing work for you by you being you.
Welcome back to the Softpreneur Podcast. We are Dawn Petrin and Elisa Joachim, and we are here to help anti-establishment thought leaders and holistic wellness visionaries get expanded on how to build an aligned and abundant business by expressing your unique essence with more clarity, courage, and conviction. The collective needs you to rise up into the limitless and infinite possibilities of your full potential. So let's go.
I am so grateful we got to have this really incredible, expansive conversation with Lisa Levine, the founder of Maha Rose Center for Healing in New York City. And there are also retreat centers in upstate New York and Mexico. And Lisa was my very first teacher in the healing arts. I did a Reiki master's training with her back in 2014. And in this decade that I've known her, she has shown me what's possible when it comes to creating really a healing temple dedicated and devoted to spirit. And in the realm of space, like bringing people into the physical space and giving space at the same time for practitioners to step into their gifts, to own the role of healer, and to let your business be a full-on creative expression that is fun and play. And Lisa is a healing master healer, let's say, a Reiki teacher, an acupuncturist, a massage therapist, a disciple of Alma, and just such a multifaceted, faceted entrepreneur who also is getting into clown work. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Softpreneur Podcast. We are delighted because today we have Lisa Levine, founder of Maha Rose Center for Healing, my very first teacher in healing, a Reiki teacher back in 2014, and fairy Reiki teacher. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. And Lisa is such an incredible example of an entrepreneur who leads with spirit and creativity and grace and inspiration. And we like to talk about marketing as a healing modality. And Lisa is a healer and a teacher for healers. So I'm so excited. I feel like a lot of the conversations Dawn and I have been having about like holistic business and this kind of concept of business as stewardship and marketing as healing are some things I really wanted to talk to Lisa about. But we'll begin with the question we normally ask. So hi, Lisa. First of all, saying hi. Lisa, do you have a spiritual practice? And is there anything you'd like to share with us about it?
Sure. Well, I would say I'm the devotee of the Divine Mother. Alma, the Hugging Saint, is my teacher. So that's it. I was raised, my mom was Christian, my dad was Jewish. I had a stepmother who practiced Buddhism, so I always believed in something bigger. But it was in 2007 that I met her. Been with her ever since.
So beautiful. I have a singer in the background today. That is Theo. And the other day he sang like Ma, and it made me also think of you. And Lisa, I know you just saw Alma in New York City. How was that experience this year?
It was amazing. This was her first time touring the US in 5 years. So, you know, since 2019 for COVID, it stopped. And she had toured the US for like 30 years before that. So I'm still recovering, to be honest, physically tired, spiritually feeling really great and full and grateful and connected. But yeah, physically tired. The nights are long. And I followed her to a few cities. So
Yeah, I'm still recovering.
Oh, yeah.
Physical body's recovering still.
There's something so special about having access to your like guru in this realm that I think a lot of us don't get these days or maybe never got. Yeah, beautiful. I love that you followed her too. I feel like one of my teachers is Michael Singer, and I'm like, must pilgrimage to the temple of the universe. Like, can you speak a little bit about what it's like to be in physical space with your teacher?
I've told some people, like, she's so bright that it's the full spectrum. Sometimes it's really blissful and just feeling, yeah, pure love and goodness. And other times she's really bringing other stuff to the surface. So she's like the master healer, and you'll have the full spectrum. And I like to tell people that who are going to see her for the first time, because you might not feel all blissful. You might be really surprised that all of a sudden there's all this anger just coming from nowhere. You're like, what is this? But I think she really draws stuff out of us that needs to get out. So yeah, full spectrum experience.
Yeah, it's like when the prana comes in from the teacher, all of the parts get raised, right? It's like your loving heart gets raised, but also your like irritated grouchiness can get raised as well. Cool. Wow. Well, yes, I am. Yeah. I don't want to say like jealous or envious, because I'm not, but I think it's really, really special to be able to like meet your teacher in this lifetime and spend time with them. Lisa, when did you first feel the call towards the healing arts?
I remember being in kindergarten and massaging my teacher's foot at recess. And then after I finished, I did art school. I went to art school. And then when I finished art school, I was like, well, how am I actually going to make a living? And at the same time, my grandfather was in the hospital and I just wanted to put my hands on him. And from there, I took a few massage courses. This was, I think, in 2002. And so then I tried to get a massage business going in Pittsburgh, and it wasn't the right time or place. And I went back to jewelry, and I had my own jewelry line for about 5 years. Always since a child, also had very entrepreneurial spirit or desire, like love to play business as a kid, ice cream shops, rock shops, libraries, like all the businesses. So I had a jewelry business for about 5 years. And then it was when I got into yoga, when I got into meditation, and then I met Amma. Actually, backing up a little bit, my really good friend and future Reiki teacher, Padma Gonzalez, was visiting me. I moved to New York in 2003. And I think it was the summer of 2005 or 6. She was like, you better get yourself some tools because you're working so hard, or you're going to make yourself sick if you don't do something. And I was like, tools. And that's when I went to the right yoga class at the right time, and then meditation. And then the next year we met Amma together. But even before that, 2004, she was like, I was visiting her in Mexico, and she was like, I'm going to teach you Reiki. And so I did Reiki 1 then, Reiki 2 the next year. So it was kind of like, it's been there for, 20 plus years. And then after meeting Amma, I started, just feeling these really clear messages about like, do healing work. And I was like, what am I going to do with this jewelry business? And it took me about a year to decide to close that. And then in that time, I studied breathwork, and then I went to acupuncture school, and Maha Rose, the roots were already there. We already had a meditation circle in the living room. My teacher Padma was coming and working with friends and friends of friends. The name came in 2010. And then when I finished acupuncture school in 2013 is when we were like, let's make this a real business. And we redid the website, and people started coming. Like, it was the right time. I feel like Maha Rose was like on this wave of just a whole new generation of people getting interested in the healing arts. Of course, they already existed in New York and beyond, but there was like this younger wave of people who all of a sudden were ready for Reiki and breathwork and sound healing and crystals. So I think we were in on that wave. Was that, what was the question? Did I answer the question?
Yeah, completely. And if I recall, was it Amma that helped inspire like the creation of the space or gave that to you as a mission?
I would say internally. Yeah, she wasn't like, she didn't say like, do this, but definitely internally, my desire with her was to be of service. And she really inspires that in her devotees. And I definitely, there was a moment where I was like, I want to be of service. And I feel like Mahabros was born from that desire.
So beautiful. And it inspires in other people who come, like a desire to be of service, especially I think budding healers or people who want to step into that more deeply. And I think it's been so beautiful to be like a part of that wave, one of the people who came in, and you have always held such gracious space for people to kind of step into that role and know that it is possible to be a healer in this life and in this like wild world that we're living in, and to hold that light and to just walk that path. And also, I think it's amazing your ability to like take action as an entrepreneur and as like a spiritual entrepreneur, because I think a lot of spirit-led entrepreneurs or practitioners, like the action piece is challenging. And I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit. I know you're a Capricorn and like have that sort of like, let's make it happen and let's make it manifest in physical space ability.
I do love physical space. And I think that's from being an artist, like I love creating in 3D and building beautiful spaces that hold people and energy. Yeah. And I have a lot of ability to, yeah, like do things and get them done. Like this, maybe getting older, I feel. And, you know, we closed the original Waho Rose in 2013. And we reopened this a year ago, and it's definitely a different incarnation. And there, it feels like a rebuilding the temple energy or vibes. And there's been moments where I think I've expected it to happen faster. I don't know. But it's a really different time. And I also teach some spiritual business classes, and I tell people that like, these businesses, these healing businesses or spiritual businesses have their own time frame, and you can't rush them. Like you can take action, but it's like a garden, and they're not going to grow faster if you you can give them all the things, the fertilizer, the water, the weeding, the love, but you can only make a tomato plant grow so fast. Like, you can't really just force it. So I've been having to learn patience always with like, okay, this is a new incarnation and it has its own time frame and it has its own rhythm. Yeah, trusting.
I think that is so important. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like, yeah, just as entrepreneurs in general, and I think everyone has spirit, right? But as entrepreneurs in general, a lot of the time there's this, like, I sent out an email. How many clicks did it get? Like, how come nobody's bought yet? And I feel like that's like moving from fear a little bit, right? And ego. And it can be a lot to keep your heart open and to surrender to the process and to have that patience. As you've been speaking, you've like already touched on all of the precepts of our methodology that we made up. So I'm just going to like name it here quickly so we can like pull it out a little bit more. So the first is that like in service and devotion to spirit and letting spirit move you. That's our first precept. It's like the holistic business method. And then the next is that you are doing it as stewardship for the earth, yourself, and each other. Next, we have this like marketing as a healing modality idea, which I think you kind of just spoke to there. And like, you're teaching spiritual entrepreneurs and like, even for yourself, this incarnation of your physical space is different. And when you have expectations, you get to like, be with your mind, you know, and see what that's like. And then the last is taking action. So I just wanted to like underline that because I feel like you've just spoken about all of these parts, and it really lit in me this idea of our healing businesses, our spiritual businesses, or our spirit-led businesses. We're also in stewardship of them. Like if the idea comes from spirit, then as we steward the business, we are like stewarding each other, and we're just really like pulling this stewardship. What does it mean to be in business in this world in a way that is stewarding, as opposed to like, say, like exploiting? So can I ask you what made you feel the call to reopen the physical space a year ago?
That's a great question. And I just wanted to add one other thing is that I feel like we live in such a instant gratification society that we expect like, hey, I'm a Reiki practitioner now, and that, you know, it's just going to blow up overnight. And that's not generally the reality that I see with my students or with myself, that, you know, these businesses take time to build and the foundation has to be strong. And yeah, again, it's just a process and building slowly to make them strong and not like that they fall over quickly.
My question was like, what made you feel the call to open the physical space again?
It's a great story. I was actually, so during the pandemic, we ended up in Mexico. We were there for a few years. My husband had a dream from like 20 years before of opening a retreat center and a music studio on the coast of Oaxaca and a school for children, music school for kids. And so we were in Mexico during the pandemic, like, but then we started coming back in the summertime 2021. And I think it was the summer of 2022. I was actually in bed, like, with my son, and he was like, can we go that place? And I was like, he started describing it, and I was like, Mahorose? And he was like, yeah, Mahorose. And I was like, no, remember, we closed it. And he was like, I was like, well, you know, we have Mexico, and here we are, we have our house upstate. And he was like, but that was the best Mahorose. He was like, that was my favorite Mahorose. He was like, can't you just open it again? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. And then around the same time, a Reiki master student of mine had started a conversation. She was like, I want to open a healing center, but everybody I talk to just talks about Mahorose. And hey, we could do this together. I was like, okay, maybe we can do this together. And so we started that conversation two summers ago now. And then we opened this Mahorose together last year. And then our partnership didn't work out. So we're working that out. But yeah, it just kind of, the inspiration just kind of came very quickly. Like Alisa said, like, I am someone to act on inspiration. So it all happened kind of fast. A year after that conversation, we reopened. So, yeah.
I just got all tingly and like almost started crying. That's so beautiful. Can you tell me what it felt like when you walked back in the doors of your studio for the first time after it was like set up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a perfectionist, but I definitely was like, this is too small. It's smaller than the original Mahorose. And so I had some like, oh no, like this is too small. Is this going to work? There's only one treatment room. Yeah, I think it's taken me some time to settle into it. And of course, everybody who comes, who's been to the old one, there's always going to be this comparison of like,
oh, that was so magic. And this is beautiful too, but this, that had that and this has this. So there's always going to be the mind. There's no way to like, if you've been to the old original Bohar Roads, you're going to, you have that comparison. So this space, I would say, has a softer energy. The original space was in a converted warehouse. It used to be a box factory. So while it was really big, the ceilings were a little bit taller. And yeah, it was a little bigger. It just had a slightly different vibe. But people come in here also and they're like, actually a good friend came in while we were still doing construction. And we were actually sitting in this treatment room. And she was like, oh my God, it already feels like Bohar Roads. Like it's not even finished being built yet, but it feels like Bohar Roads. So the energy there, the vibration is there. I guess I am kind of like focused on there's a yard that still needs to be fixed up and there's lots of tweaks I want to do. I'm like forever refining. So it takes time also to like really land in a new space and the energy is building, but that takes time also. But it's beautiful and it's magical. But and also, I had lived in Greenpoint for 17 years. So I was excited to live in a new neighborhood in Brooklyn. We're like a lot more South Brooklyn, but it's a new neighborhood too. Like I don't know people. I mean, I'm meeting people now, but it's a whole new process. And of course, New York's changed and many people left Greenpoint and it's a whole post-pandemic universe, but it's new, it's different. And I think it's taking some time to like fully land and settle. And I do live in Mexico half the year. So I'm not here all the time to like really, do as much as I would like to do.
It's so, we both have things. We're like, oh, it's so interesting because Bohar Roads, like as a space, that space, the first one, and I feel like all of Bohar Roads, like the business contain, like the being that is Bohar Roads, it's like you almost want to talk about it as a being, or like this business container has its own energy and its own life. And it's interesting because like we do branding and like work with people on branding. And it's almost like, is that the brand of Bohar Roads? Is that the business? Or is it just like it's just the energy of like, it feels like the space and then people who contribute to it. And like, it keeps like raising this frequency. But I'd love to hear how you conceptualize that. And what does Bohar Roads feel like to you?
Yeah. I mean, I do think she's her own being. And my good friend, Lavon Jaguar Woman, I don't know, do you know her, Elisa? Yeah. When we closed the original Bohar Roads, she was like, stop saying that you've closed Bohar Roads. Like, stop saying that. Like, you didn't close it. You just moved it to Mexico. Like, you relocated it. You're protecting the baby. Like, it never closed. So in some ways, yeah, I feel like that is true. Like she is her own being. And yeah, she's in some ways, maybe it's more difficult for me to like even speak about her because it's like, she's very close to me, of course. So it's like trying to describe yourself where you're like soft and creative and I don't know. Yeah, like it's hard to separate and really see her super clearly sometimes.
So two things. One is that super resonates for me. And also the question Elisa asked was really close to what I was going to ask. So the reason it resonates for me is I actually had a healing center in a yoga studio, and that's how I got into like business and marketing. And Elisa and I, and it was called Tandava, and Elisa and I will be like on calls and I'm like, well, Tandava needs this and this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like even though like I sold it just before the pandemic and I was in copywriting already, but this business that we're creating, creating, Alisa and I together, feels so much like the same work as what, like, standing at the front of the classroom and, like, telling people how, not telling, but, like, working with people to, like, you know, regulate their nervous system, or, like, our coaching clients feel a lot. I had treatment rooms as well, felt a lot like the healers who would come in, and I would, like, hold space for their businesses, you know? So you saying that, like, your friend was like, no, you didn't close it, you just moved it. It's like, I almost think, or I think you're right. I think that our business is a lot of time, not in like a demons or ghost ways, but they are their own entities, right? And it's like, we get to know them and ourselves in relation to them in the same way as we might get to know, I feel like it's like both a child and then someone who's like, like multiple lifetimes ahead of us. And Alisa asked what it felt like. And my question was similar, which is like, what is your vision with this entity? What is this vision with your relationship to the healing arts and sharing them with others?
Yeah. That's a great question. I have many inspirations. I've been doing more one-on-one sessions recently, and I'm kind of someone who does many different things. I don't want to say to a fault, but sometimes I feel like I have too many different inspirations. So yeah, I've been doing these amazing, I call them Reiki massage. It's like body work, energy work, hands-on. They're really good. And during the pandemic, I wasn't doing so much. So it's really nice to be back working hands-on with people. So that's been really beautiful. I'm teaching a laughter lab tonight. I've been taking some clown classes, which I do feel like, you know, has been very healing for me. And I'm also getting back into ceramics. So like art and creativity are my most, like my current inspiration and the things that are healing for me right now. So I always want to bring the tools that are helping me to others. Clowning has been a tougher sell. Some people get it. Some people are like, okay, I'm terrified, but I'm going to try. I'm going to do it anyway. So that's been fun. But I do feel like it's such good medicine for this current moment. Like, it is a heavy time in the world. There's a lot of, yeah, just pain and seriousness and fear, and clown just like breaks through a lot of that. Laughter, yoga, and love as well, just like bringing more joy into our lives. So those are my most current inspirations.
Yay. I love it. And I also just want to say I got the clowning award in grade 8 and grade 9 in drama. And like, I'm pretty good at miming. That's why I'm a little bit shy to do the awkward things clowns do. But one thing I remember about learning about clowning was clown logic, which is like the exact opposite of what you think you might do. I mean, grade 9 was a long time ago. And I think you're right. This like post-pandemic time, clown logic is probably what we need to like innovate whatever healing is going to come through next. I love that you're doing that. And I feel like you almost have to like not lie. I would never say that, but like pretend it's something else. Oh, we're having a class in, I don't know what you would call it.
Seriously, like deep shadow work, because that's what you call it. Call it shadow work, and then be like, well, actually, in the shadow lies our joy, our ridiculousness, all the different parts of ourselves that we're afraid to embody. So just go in, pull them out, have fun with them, exaggerate them, make them even more ridiculous than they are. And yeah, call it shadow work, because that is what it is. And that's maybe less scary than clowns.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine if you came for a shadow work workshop at Maha Rose and then Lisa handed you a clown nose and was like, now you may not speak? I love it. I want to come. Okay, that's a good reason to come visit Brooklyn for sure.
There's a retreat. There's a retreat coming up in upstate with my teacher in October.
Okay, we should try and get this podcast out. Oh, it will. This podcast is coming out in September. So do you want to tell us a little bit more, actually, about the retreat?
The retreat, I should get the correct dates. I think it's the October 3rd to the 6th. It's in upstate New York. My teacher's name is Carol Lee Cerugo, and it's called The Way of the Clown. So it's, yeah, all about embracing mistakes, embracing failures, embracing whatever is there, being open, honest, and vulnerable, ridiculous, and having fun and laughing at ourselves and giving each other permission to laugh at each other. Yeah, just having more fun.
That feels like it would be really good medicine for entrepreneurs in general and also spiritual entrepreneurs, because sometimes we take it so seriously, right? You do work with spiritual entrepreneurs. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you do?
So I teach sometimes live and sometimes online, and it's half energetic and half, or maybe like a little more energetic, and then also nuts and bolts, but meditation, yeah, just connecting with our businesses, connecting with our purpose, working through whatever challenges we might have, and then talking nuts and bolts. And it's part like our work on our own, and then it's also connecting with others and having a support group and accountability, because again, coming back to the words around action. Some people have these really beautiful ideas or intentions, but it's not enough to just have the intention and, you know, sit at home, because people aren't going to find you. You do need to put yourself out there in one way or another, or in many ways. So yeah, the accountability of doing that. And yeah, it's fun. And they're tailored to whoever comes together in each group. They're generally pretty intimate. So yeah, and just meeting people where they're at and supporting them on this journey.
I love it. I do want to reflect that it does feel like fun is for sure one of the words that has always been a huge undercurrent of Maha Rose. And, you know, it's so funny because you talked about like seeing Alma and she brings out all the things, right? And it feels like Maha Rose is like that kind of... We were talking about Kali yesterday, and I feel like sometimes there's the Kali energy of the mother, and sometimes there's just like full on embrace and to be held in the mother's arms. And I also feel like that archetype of the child, like that your son is the one who said, that was my favorite, and that sort of innocence and that joyfulness and the play, and like maybe why when we did fairy school, that's one that took off immediately, right? It was like we had the download, we put it out there, people, the fairy children came, and it just like it, that one had like immediate legs, right? But that like child heart that has always been so encouraged, and it feels like it's such a bomb to this time. And isn't it funny that like, yeah, that clown work is like the most vulnerable, like intimate modality perhaps, because like, and I, from my acting background, I remember I don't know if I was the best clown, right? I could do comedy, but doing clown, from what I experienced, was like you have to be so radically honest, right, in order for things to land or to be funny. So like you can feel the full spectrum of emotion or feeling to like, and full commitment to whatever is in front of you. Yeah, just a little reflection.
I think Maha Rose has always had, yeah, that creative spirit too. Like lots of things have been birthed through her, and yeah, the creativity and child's imagination. And it also comes back to my relationship with Alma, which is that of a child with the Divine Mother. So yeah, really cultivating that innocence, which I think is also loss, not loss, but like seems like there's less of it in today's world. So like really cultivating the innocent heart and open mind and to see the best in everybody.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful, because I feel like a tenet of how you And I'm like, do we call it marketing? I don't know. But how you like create materials that share the word about Maha Rose, like have always been those messages of often hope or from the heart that you handwrite. Can you tell like anyone who's listening what they are and like anything you want to share about how you like to quote, like market Maha Rose?
Yeah. I mean, I loved what you were saying, both of you, just about marketing as a healing modality. And I think working with, you know, healers and spiritual entrepreneurs, like marketing can be a real block or obstacle. Like, I hate Instagram or I don't want to do it. And in that attitude, that vibration is going to come through in your posts. Even if you post, it's not going to have the vibration that you want to be putting out there into the universe. So it's like, what's the energy I want to put out? And really, I do tell people to have fun with it. And it's a creative modality. So I have fun with it. And the more fun that I have with it, I think the better it is. And if I'm just doing it because I have to do it, it's going to have the energy of something you have to do that you don't want to do versus, oh, this is such an amazing, I get to put my voice and my vibration out there into this huge tapestry that is social media. And what do I want to put out there?
I love it. This is such an important conversation. And actually, we focused an entire series on this idea of like victim consciousness and social media. And that like, and through working with clients for years and with Tandava, we had weekend workshops all the time. And I always noticed when people were excited, even if they were brand new and had like no following, when they were excited about what they were putting out there and they were having fun with telling people about it and they had no expectations, like though that's what filled the room up, you know? And it didn't matter if they were like, I'm really good at writing posts, you know, or emails. It was really like the energy behind it. And I see that in launches too. Like when a client is tired of what they're selling, the universe is like, well, do something else then. I'm not going to make this work for you, right? But when you're like stoked and having fun, it's like all of the blessings can come. And like with your teacher, sometimes the blessings don't feel like blessings in the moment necessarily, right? But when we're open and maybe even letting ourselves clown out loud, like in social media, we have, I have a friend I met at a retreat, and her name is Madeline Moon, and she does hilarious skits on Instagram. She's also like a tantra teacher and an embodiment teacher, but her skits are so funny and so honest that at first I was like, I don't know if I like her. And now I'm like, oh shoot, she might be my medicine. And I don't think that like evolution in my relationship with her would have happened if she wasn't being like awkward and clowny and using social media or marketing as a creative outlet rather than a like, come to my thing, give me money, right? Like I think the universe can feel this like I do believe that our businesses can bring us and everyone around us abundance. But when we're posting or marketing with that in mind, like you said, it does not hit in the same way as when we're just playing. And something I noticed with the Maha Rose post was just, I'm wondering actually, is it your handwriting? Yeah, it really reminds me, Alisa, of your notes poems that you're putting out there. And I wonder if that might be inspired partially by Lisa, or because there's this thing about, because I love it, it's like your handwriting's really beautiful, but it's also a little messy and you might like add a little word at the top or whatever, you know, like, oh, it looks like she like you said, you're not a perfectionist, and in being yourself it feels perfect to me. And it's like being you without necessarily having it to be like, here's my face again, right? It's like it's my handwriting, not necessarily like, check out what I'm wearing or what have you. So I think that so many entrepreneurs, spiritual or otherwise, can really receive, or should, or who am I to say should, but there's an opportunity for people to receive this medicine of, you know, have fun with your marketing and let it be you and messy, and notice maybe is that if it's authentic to you to be that way, it probably like hits better than trying to like, and I love a good hook. So don't get me wrong here, but trying to come up with like a great hook to like write the post and then get people to the workshop. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It feels like you're an innovator and it's really cool because we are also innovators and it's hard to find expanders. I mean, Elisa's had you for years, but it's hard to find expanders who are cool with doing shit their own way, as opposed to following this, like,
this and this, this and this, this is how you run a funnel
or what have you. Yeah. Have you always been an innovator?
I think so. I think so. And also, you know, social media, like it is, it's so saturated. So finding your unique vibration and vision and really not owning it, but like really vibrating in your own, yeah, uniqueness and what you have to offer that is yours and nobody else's. And if we are, you know, copying what somebody else is doing, then probably not going to work for us. But I mean, maybe to a fault, because when I hear funnels, I'm like, oh, I should.
Well, that's the taking action piece, right? And so when you were talking about nuts and bolts with your entrepreneurs that you're serving, that's it. That's to us, taking action is like, you don't like, you might, your funnel might be way different than anybody else's. And kind of good to have a place for people to subscribe and then get invited to things, right? So yeah. And you probably will have, I bet you I'm like 3 months from now, Lisa will have a very high performing funnel that she created all herself.
It's like been on the, it's like at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. And you're always giving value. So I think that in and of itself is like, we talk about nurturing, like you're constantly nurturing at the top of the funnel, which is where people, when people first meet you, and you've always had like a very devoted, like newsletter, even if it's not like ever, you know, the sent out this day at this time. Maybe every it is.
Week. It's pretty magical.
Yes, it is. So there you go. I feel like they come in magically though. So I get them like, oh, okay, it's here. I haven't even noticed in all these years that
it's usually Tuesday or Wednesday. There's a little bit of
there's some flow.
Structure.
But that consistent newsletter is incredible because like, I mean, we can like kind of go off on a whole other direction, but like how email marketing is really like the, you know, social, yes, people find you there. Sometimes they find you other ways and then they follow up on social, but getting people into your email list, you know, whenever people come to a workshop or the physical, I feel like it's so seamless that they become part of your email community. And that to me is like one of the best business or online marketing strategies ever. So it's like you've intuitively, innovatively are doing things that are like wise for the business and growth. Yeah. So I have like 20 billion things I want to say all at once. And I feel like another really kind of cool success point that you have is that like you are multi-passionate and creator, and you've gotten to like showcase so many aspects of your creativity with Maharose, like the fact that you've selling jewelry that you create in this space, or different physical I've got the objects and items that you created, and like it can have all of these forms, I think is also really inspiring. Or just that message to like vibrate you in this, whatever you're creating as an entrepreneur and on social media. I feel like that is going to be such a relief for a lot of creative spiritual practitioner types who think they need to do it. It can become so heady and outside in. So thank you for giving us that message.
Yeah, vibrating yourself. And then how do you do it? Probably you go to the clowning workshop in October in order to exaggerate yourself so much that you can recognize like who you are and put it out there. Because I feel like actually, Elisa, that vibrating yourself might be a good medicine for you and your own social, right? Like when she said that, I was like, ooh.
I'm like, oh yeah, because I've been playing with all the carousels and this and that. But I'm like, I just need to like let my I don't know if it's a freak flag. We can call it, do people still say that? I need to just let my freak flag fly out there, you guys. So grateful for this message, also on a personal level, because it just gave me that clarity of like, oh yeah, be more me and innovate on there, because like I have a connection to my own creative spark. And I think a lot of people listening do. And Dawn and I have been toying with this, like the muse and the marketing muse, like this concept of when the muse speaks to us. And for me, I've learned like, oh, my innovative space is like when I feel this like muse ping, that's like lean into that. So yeah, I'm very excited to see what's going to come of this chat on a personal level and for everybody who's listening. So Lisa, we like to ask, and I feel like we've touched on it, but I want to ask you, do you have a vision for the collective at this incredible, strong time we all find ourselves in?
A vision for the collective? I have a prayer for the collective, which is just more kindness and more compassion, more lifting each other up, supporting each other. Yeah, that's what I want.
I mean, do we need anything else?
Kindness from software.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think kindness and compassion and supporting each other and lifting each other up is like what creates the space for joy and laughter, right? Where we don't need to hide ourselves from others because we're not fearing this retribution almost of like when we are ourselves, how we are seen and spoken to and received. It has been so magical to speak with you today. I really want to get a piece of your jewelry. This is like my big ping. I was like, oh, she is still making jewelry. Oh, I'm gonna go find that. So it's happening.
There's an online shop. There is.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute, I'm still on the pod. Okay, so Lisa, where is the best place for people to find you and to find Maha Rose?
Yeah, well, the website is maharose.com, and we are on Instagram. It's maharosenyc. Those are the two best spots.
Okay, awesome. And is there anything else you want to share with our listeners of Softpreneurs?
I feel like we were pretty thorough. I feel like we covered a lot of good stuff.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much for being here.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Lisa. So great to connect and see you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Softpreneur Podcast. If it resonated with your ethos and your soul, we would be so grateful to you if you leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast.
This helps us grow so much, and it also helps more visionary business owners find the show so they can make their dream life their real life. So many blessings and love.